How much time till we're on?
We're on, Ron!
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening, I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to it's the Wednesday night edition of Sports Day.
Can you heard that before?
Hello, Gary Belcher, fresh from the Killers.
This is not pseudo echo.
Yes.
Can you not drunk text us at 9:30 at night, please? As well.
I wasn't drunk. I'd been drinking. I just thought you guys might want to share in the concert that I was enjoying so much. Hey, if anyone's thinking about going to the Killers, get yourself a ticket if you haven't got one already.
Oh, well done, Molly.
Unbelievable.
Best concert you've seen? You're playing
today.
To it.
I've always said the best one I went to was in Brizzy, the Rolling Stones, about 20 years ago.
Never longer. Been a Rolling Stones fan.
Oh! Mick strutting down the catwalk, up and down the catwalk. It was amazing. But, Brandon Stark? Stowers?
It's Brandon Flowers.
Flowers. Yep. Unbelievable. One of the best drummers I've ever
What's his
seen
name?
Too. Ronnie Vannucci Jr.
Vannucci
I'm looking
Jr.
at it.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Hello, Scott Sattler. How are you today?
Hey, talking about Molly Meldrum, I heard a great story about Molly Meldrum the other day. That Sir Paul McCartney came over to do a concert in Australia, and he went and saw Molly just in his own time, because apparently they're very, very close. And he showed him what his set was going to be, all the songs he was going to sing. And Molly said, no, drop that out, throw that in. He goes, yep, no worries, and changed his whole set for the Australian tour based on Molly Meldrum's word.
And did it bomb?
Yeah, hello, how are you?
Hello to our listeners through the Super Radio Network tonight, particularly 104.1, Radio 97 on the Tweed, SEN track stations. And for those listening through the SEN app and Canberra, 1323 AM, welcome to it. It's a big show tonight. A lot of talk in the studio pre-show about Australia versus Denmark. Obviously, that game happening 1 AM Queensland time, 2 AM New South Wales time tomorrow morning. And Badge has got the whiteboard out and he's trying to work out if we win, who do we play? So we're potentially could play Poland or Argentina.
If we
get through.
We're going to play the winners of Group C. Are we in C?
No, we're in D.
Winner of Group C plays the runner-up of Group D. So if we're runner-up, we get through, we'll play the winner. And I think Jack is saying Poland is playing Argentina. There'll be one of those that we will play.
All right, yeah. Jeez, who would you rather play, Poland or Argentina?
Poland.
So,
yeah, I wouldn't want to play Argentina.
Oh, Maradona, you can't beat him.
He's outstanding, isn't he?
Oh, he's not around him? Wow. He was.
So that's and the other thing going around the room was who's going to be up. Jack's going to be up. He's working out whether
I'm going to be up.
Jack's working out whether he's going to the casino or not. Oh, God, to be single again. If I was
to
single.
Be young again.
To be young and single, and that's the decision you have to make. Imagine me going home tonight going, hey, love, dinner's nice. Off to the casino at 1 AM tomorrow morning.
You did, but didn't you do that the other night for the
No, she sent me there because I was working.
Oh, okay.
It's a big difference, Badge. Yeah. You're not watching it, are you,
there
mate?
Is. No, I can wait till morning.
But how are you going to – what if they do win or there's a draw and they get through? Don't you want to be in the moment?
How will I know?
Don't you want to jump in your car afterwards and let off some flares and blow your horn going around the block? What is it with flares and soccer, by the way?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
Is there like a soccer flare shop you just go into and you go, can I get some red ones? Like, what's the go? What is it?
So whenever there's a big soccer game on, is it – is it boating shops? Is that where you get your flares from?
Jack,
do they go crazy?
BCF,
do they sell flares?
But there you go.
Jack, come in here.
Overseas versions of BCF just keep selling out of flares leading into major soccer events.
Jack,
we don't see it in Australian sport. There's nothing that stands out in Australian sport, is
flares. There's BCF and fun. How you going, Jack?
Yeah, good.
Is it with flares, though, in soccer? Seriously, what is it?
Oh, it's just a really nice colour. It envelops everywhere.
It's dangerous,
you know,
you're
Jack. Showing off your pride and your colours. Well, don't throw it. But if you just
wouldn't take your
off,
eye out because you got your Harry Potter
glasses.
You sound
like you're okay with people just people just lighten them as
How
okay.
How dare you?
Oh, well, as long as you don't throw them and they're not in danger. Yep. Or, and that's happened a few times where people have thrown them onto the field and then fans have, then players have thrown them back into the crowd. That can cause issue.
Can you pick
that's not the old movies, you know, when the hand grenade lands, you pick it up and you toss it back.
Yeah, but really.
I saw a guy get kicked out of the Iran-USA game this morning.
For wearing flares?
Because he had a plastic trumpet. They said, come on, mate, that's dangerous. Let's get that out of here. So, because he didn't have flares, so they got rid of
it. I thought you get kicked out.
That's a bad joke, guys.
Flares. Yeah, it's ordinary.
We'll kick off the show.
No, yeah, bad flare. Went, sorry, no flares in here.
So, but is it? It goes back to the old NSL days, doesn't it? The flares, the National Soccer League, where you'd have the, you know, the.
Is it an overseas thing, though, Jack?
Massively. Okay. Yeah. And you can get all your different colours. But, yeah, it's just, you know, when...
Because we don't see it in Australia. But when you've got... major sports, we don't see anything that really...
Yeah, well, in soccer you do.
Yeah.
In Australia?
Yeah. Western Sydney Wanderers, they love that. But I think it is that thing of because the fans are so opposed against each other and those rivalries are so deep, you want to do something
that gets
you...
just lob a flare into the opposition.
Well, you want to show how strong you are. So
throw
you
flares responsibly.
You've got all the colours
around. It's been nil all 8 weeks in a row. We're going to need some action at this game.
Yeah. Bring a few flares.
Mm. Ah, that's what you do. Not streamers. Just actually, I'd rather a flare than those stupid clappers they hand out at the SCG for the Swans games. You know those plastic things? They make all that noise. No, thanks. Not for me.
What about the Vuvuzelas? Do you remember
them? Didn't they ban them? Was that the rugby when they banned them? Or was that South Africa when they hosted
the South Africa World Cup? Oh, massive.
Yeah, rightio. Thanks, Jack.
Robot from Des Moines is... He's just getting up to watch the replay. 2 a.m. is too hard for me. Me too. I'm with you.
But what replay?
Is he Robert? And that's Siri is calling him Robot?
Could someone please confirm that there is a replay because it is actually on SBS. So it's not on Fox.
Yeah, you can watch it on the SBS app.
Can you confirm that? I want confirmation of that.
What was that, Jack?
Watch it on the app.
Jack.
Okay. Or you can listen to it on SEN.
Yes, you can.
But they have to do that live.
Yeah.
We will have live coverage of that game.
There'll be a podcast of it as well.
Yeah, tomorrow morning. In fact, Clint Bolton will be joining us. He's part of the SEN commentary team for the FIFA World Cup 2022. He'll be joining us real soon. By the way, if you want to get involved in the show, 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170. And don't forget, you can grab a podcast of the show. Just look for Sports Day New South Wales through Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And the boys are carving it up on TikTok. Badge, Sats, SEN.
What about Badge's reenactment of the dance and the lip syncing he did at the concert last night, which is on our TikTok?
Yeah, with the kittens.
Mm.
Are you going to do that nude kittens post?
Again?
Because kittens are...
You guys are weird.
That was a test run. Hey, boys, as we say, big show. We've got Tim Franklin as well joining us on the show tonight. You may ask who he is.
Yes.
He's starting a journey running across the world. He's a Brisbane boy.
What?
Trying to break the record of 434 days.
What?
That's ridiculous.
Now, I don't get the across the world bit. Because how?
Ask him.
How do you go across the world?
So when he got a
when he can't run.
When he does Australia and flies across to, say, New Zealand, does he have to keep running up and down the aisle?
Yes, I think he does.
Of the plane?
Yes.
Okay.
That's stupid.
Well, it's a question. It's a relevant question.
Are you going to ask him?
Or does he run on the mark, like just on the spot, up the back of the plane, outside the toilets?
Could possibly do. You know, people will say, do you need to go to the toilet? Because that's two, isn't it?
Oh, God.
It's not a good start to the show. Simon Orchard from New South Wales Greyhounds. A couple of tips for Wenty Park tonight.
Yep.
By the way, he was 2 from 2 last week.
He was.
Yeah. So it was a good victory.
It makes me believe, Simon.
That's ridiculous. Have you got one for us tonight?
I've got a World Cup related.
Have you?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, very timely.
I've got one about a movie or movies.
Well, do you want to give us that one to start with or do you want to wait?
I can if you want.
Go for it. Hook and tease.
Do you want me to actually unveil it?
The
Terminator movies were a prequel to The Matrix.
What?
Hmm. Exactly.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
So Neo, didn't they?
So Neo, who is the...
I got to look this
Neo
up.
Is... What's his name? Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
That's what? John Connor. That's the kid from Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
So when The Matrix...
That's ridiculous that I didn't know that because I like to think I know a lot about movies.
In the The Matrix came out in 1999, and Terminator.
That was before that.
That was in the 80s, wasn't it?
Mm. So, you didn't see the Terminator, did you?
I haven't seen that or the Matrix.
Mm. I haven't seen the Matrix.
Have you seen those, Badge?
Yeah. Don't ask me how to...
to explain.
My wife actually asked. She was watching during COVID. She was... I think it was then. She's watching Matrix, and she's like an hour in. She's gone, I just don't kind of get what... don't try to get it. Mm. Don't try to work it out. It's you can't.
Mm. Hey, first test kicked off today too at Optus Stadium.
It's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah, never been there. It looks amazing. And the Aussies are too far. Geez, not a big crowd. Not a big crowd. But you're claiming because it's Wednesday, so.
Yeah.
It's early, isn't it, in the week to kick it off, to go. And I reckon Friday, day three, Saturday, be big. Big.
Mm. I think Saturday there wouldn't be a bad crowd, depending on how it's travelling. But, I mean, this West Indies team isn't as dominant as what they have been in past decades, but it's always exciting.
Can I say 2 days ago I didn't even know the test was on? Maybe if you're in Perth. Well, no, I knew it was coming up. I didn't know it was on this week.
Once upon a time we knew when every test was starting.
Well, it was always Brisbane.
That's the crazy part.
It was always
part.
Gabba at the end of last week of November, right?
Yep, now. This time of year.
And now the Gabba gets the first test against South Africa on the 17th of December.
Has the T20 and then the one days we had, and then the World Cup kicking off in soccer, has that taken a little bit of the focus away from the cricket? I think
cricket fans know it's on. I think they know it's on. Aussies, by the way, 2 for 162 at tee.
Warner went really early,
didn't
he?
Terrible shot. Absolutely terrible shot. He was out for 5. Usman Khawaja out for 65. Marnus Labuschagne's 81 not out, and Steve Smith 4 not out, as I say, 2 for 162 at tee. Hey, I just want to go back to the soccer for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching it, and how are you watching it tomorrow morning? Like, I bumped into so many people and spoken to mates. Everyone's getting up to watch it. Gary's the
not
only one.
Everyone.
Well, only you're the one sleeping at the moment.
I'm going to listen to it. But
please.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think people just pretend. They
actually,
don't get enough.
Glenn, the reality king, is saying, g'day, Justin, Badsats and Jack. Just thought I'd wish the Socceroos all the best for tomorrow morning before I turn back to the ABC to listen to the final session of the cricket. No.
No, he's banned. He is banned. That's it. He's done.
Glenn?
No.
Glenn, you go to Jared Waitley and listen to the SEN call.
Listen to the SEN app, mate. You are gone. He's with my friend.
No soup for you. Come back 1 year.
Jared Waitley, best sports commentator in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. What else is coming up on the show tonight? We mentioned Simon Orchard. We mentioned That's Ridiculous. If you've got one for us, 0457 736 736. We've got to go to a break in just a moment. But Justin Langer today, was he out on the field before play belting his former players?
Yes, well, he's with Channel 7 as part of their coverage, and many have said it's going to be awkward when he's got to interview some of his former players that he coached. But no, he's out on the field kicking a footy with Alex Carey and Marcus Harris. Of course, Marcus Harris is part of the 14-man squad or the 13-man squad. But hugged all the players and chatted to the players freely. I've got no doubt that he's still got a good relationship with a majority of the players, because I think they realise that Justin Langer gave them a harder edge as players.
And I would say not all the players wanted to see him go.
I guarantee a lot of the players didn't want to see him go.
That's right.
Hey, just on that.
But they move on very quickly.
It's a misunderstanding.
Sports people move on very quickly.
He was one of the great opening batsmen that we've had in this country. In fact, we're talking about it last night, Sats. That Langer and Hayden, were they the best partnership? Now, it doesn't have to be just sport. It could be anything. It could be TV shows, whatever. But were Langer and Hayden the best combo? Let's talk about it from a cricket point of view. Was there any better?
Where do they rank alongside, and you mentioned them last night, Haynes and Greenwich?
I reckon they're up there. What do you reckon, Badge?
Yeah.
I mean, Greenwich and Haynes dominated their era, didn't they?
You're just talking about the opening bats.
We're talking about any combos, but in this instance, we're talking about opening batsmen.
Mm, okay.
Well, we had a text last night, was it?
So any combo, I always go back to Lily and Marsh or Lily and Tomo bowling.
Warn and Healy.
Bold Warn, Court Healy. Mm. Court Healy, Bold Warn. Did we get a text last night, was it Bob Simpson and Bill Laurie?
Yeah, opening partnerships.
Yeah.
Jeez, I can barely remember that.
Please.
You threw up Kepler Vessels and...
whoever, John Dyson, I think.
John Dyson.
John Dyson was a great batsman.
Mm. He was. Yeah, no, Kepler opened more with someone else.
Greg Wood? Who
Graham
did Greg
Wood. Graham Wood.
Greg Wood. Sorry. Greg Wood, his brother Greg,
was okay, but...
I used to work in radio with a Greg Wood. But Graham Wood used to open the batting with Dyson. John Dyson.
He's a lefty.
But who are the best combos?
Hale and Pace.
Three, they called him.
Laverne and Shirley. Mm. Squiggy and the Fonz.
I was ruined.
Remember the Fonz? That's like, we talk about how creepy
that was.
Joni
and Chachi. That's a combo.
The Fonz and Joni. The Fonz and Marion.
That's weird. You are weird.
The Fonz and all the school kids that he hung around with.
That's alleged.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a break. This is Sports Day. Hey, when we
Potsy
come back.
Potsy and Mr. C.
Wow.
What? That one?
Are you what?
What are you inferring?
Sorry. Okay? It was Potsy and Ralph.
Are you? I can't even see your eyes tonight. Are his eyes open?
They're still at a concert. Hey. Not often I come in here wearing sunnies, but I had to tonight.
Yeah, he's seen.
Imagine if the Killers were on tonight. Yeah. He'd still be up at 1 o'clock so he could watch the soccer.
Badge, are you good at backing up anymore?
No.
Were you good at backing up in the day?
I'm going at halftime. No, terrible.
Were you no good at backing up?
No.
Like have a good night on the source, not good responsibly with your teammates?
Listen, I walked into work today. He was snoring on the couch.
No, I was on the couch. And he said, "Oh, you've had a little sleep." And I said, "I just actually was snoring before he walked in. I'm glad he didn't hear that."
0457 736 736. Best partnerships. They can be from sporting, television, pop culture, anything. We want to know about that tonight.
The goodies.
And we've got to go because Clint Bolton is standing by. We'll get to him next. This is Sports Day for Kia.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car; they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. This is Sports Day. Badge back from the Killers. Sats in the studio as well, and plenty of your texts coming through. Of course, the Socceroos, 2 a.m. New South Wales time, 1 a.m. Queensland. Tomorrow morning, take on Denmark for a place in the round of 16 of the 2022 FIFA World Cup.
Have we decided what name they go by? Was it the
Socceroos?
Socceroos. We worked that out.
The Danish.
Isn't it the red and the white?
The red and the white?
I don't know. Let's get our guest on.
The apple or the custard?
No, actually, Badge, this was a serious question
we
threw out last night, and we still, I don't know, we're not 100% on it. What are the Danish, what is the Danish football team known
custard,
by?
Custard Danish.
They're not... Apple. Clint Bolton, who's a part of the SEN commentary team for the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Download the SEN app. You can listen to every single game on there. Clint, thanks for your time, mate.
Pleasure, guys.
Tomorrow morning, it's D-Day. We need France to knock over Tunisia, which is happening at the same time. And if that happens, we just need a draw to go through. Is that right?
That's right, but I'm not thinking along those lines, and I hope the Socceroos aren't, that's for sure. I think we should all be thinking about beating Denmark, winning that game, not worrying about the other result. If you're relying on other results and things are out of your control, then that's not where you want to be. So we go into the match looking for the win, and we're in a great position to get that, to be honest. As long as we have a fearless approach to the Danes, they're very gettable.
Now, the win against Tunisia on our time Sunday morning was impressive, especially from a defensive perspective.
Yep.
How have you rated their performance so far in their first two games? You feel as though that we've still got a lot to improve on and we need to?
Oh, two performances on both ends of the spectrum in a lot of ways. I think I, like a lot of Socceroos fans, went into the World Cup with good faith and belief in this team that regardless of the opposition, they'll just give it a red-hot crack, and that didn't really materialise in the first game. So really, I was personally disappointed in the approach, especially going a goal up and just afterwards becoming really reactive and defensive and going back into our shell in a lot of ways. So disappointed in that match, but very, very happy with the way we rebounded and against Tunisia, that was what I expected from the first game. So it's the norm. It should be the norm for any soccer performance that we play, and it should be the basis of the game against Denmark. So it's been a mixed bag, but we're in a position to qualify, and it's in our hands. So, you know, we're in a position where we can surpass what the 2006 golden generation of soccerers did, because it's a very similar pathway through the group, similar results in that we've beaten the team we expected to beat. It was Japan in 2006, Tunisia this time around. We lost to the big team in the group, and we're coming up with the middle tier team in the group, needing a result, needing a draw to progress. We did it against Croatia in 2006, and if we can do that against the Danes and France, like you said, do a job, if need be, then we go through. And if we do, compare the squads, and this would be a bigger achievement. And I have no problem with saying that. So it's massive.
One of the positives out of that French game is got a shot on an opportunity early, converted it, scored it, and then again against Tunisia, converted that as well. But overall, are we getting enough opportunities at enough shots at goal?
No, that's clear. It's expected. It's expected. So it's not out of our thinking of what this team is capable of. It's capable of more, but when you've lost a bit of quality. Like Boyle was key to actually creating a lot of opportunities on the right-hand side. A very direct player, gets in the box, and a very dangerous player. He was a big miss. And then Hristic is the other one. He's a key creator for our team. That bit of class alongside Aaron Moy that stands out above most other players in the squad, to be fair, and with all due respect. So we, you know, like most teams in this World Cup, we're missing a couple of players. That doesn't help. But you're right, we're not creating enough opportunities. But you don't have to. At a World Cup, most World Cup champions don't score a lot of goals throughout. But importantly, like you mentioned before, against Tunisia, we defended really well. That's the key to this team. It's the key to its progression through the group. It'll be key against the Danes, who are very good defensively themselves. So you expect not many opportunities to arise. We've just got to execute whatever comes along, and another great defensive performance led by Harry Soutar, who was enormous against Tunisia, just enormous. So that's what's needed, and we can't hide behind the fact that there's a difference in talent within, you know, the big European nations and the Socceroos, but that doesn't mean you can't win games. So there's other ways to win.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned that incredible side that we had back at that sort of golden era back around 2006. And I know you played for the Socceroos in that year and in that era. What if this team can manage to come up with the win or the draw and go through? How are they going to be compared to those great teams of the past? Will it be one of the all-time great performances?
It's the biggest achievement of a Socceroos team. You'd compare it to Asian Cup victory in 2015. Different tournaments, different competitions. What we did in 2015 with Ange is just ridiculous, phenomenal. But this is up there. Like I said before, I think it's a bigger achievement than 2006 if we get through, just because the sides are very different and less is expected of this particular team. So just you cannot undersell what an achievement it would be for this particular group. And mate, what we got out of the Tunisian game, that's just one game. Imagine we get through the group and the reaction to that performance and that achievement back here at home. So man, the Socceroos, like you guys, I know are big fans of other sports, but I'm a football person through and through, and I understand the landscape globally and how big it is and how hard it is here for the Socceroos to get traction locally. So any massive achievement like this is huge in this country. So I hope it happens. I hope the country appreciates how big it is and gets behind them if they do get through and go forward.
Oh, it'll be a massive shot in the arm for football in Australia, no doubt at all. Hey, I saw a press conference with Graham Arnold seems very relaxed. Well, is he going to be relaxed come kickoff in a few hours' time? Is he?
Nah.
He's going to be a pretty nervous man on the sideline there, isn't he?
Angry man.
Nah. Mate, he's edgy. He is as edgy as any coach on the sideline. He doesn't stop. He's up and down. He's a technical area, barking orders the whole time. He's the type of coach that I never liked being around. I didn't like being a part of that sort of setup, seeing my coach on the sideline. He just made me edgy. If he was edgy, I was edgy type. So, but that's him. It doesn't seem to have much impact on the team, I guess. But he will not stop for however long this game goes. But it's interesting to reflect on Arnie. I have mixed emotions about Arnie as our head coach and what he's achieved. But a lot of respect for him, because I don't think he's at the level of most other coaches at this tournament, particularly with his in-game management, decision-making throughout the 90 minutes of each game. I think there's been question marks around the first two games, rightfully so. But massive respect, like I have for any player that achieves success at the top level that maybe doesn't have the talent of those players. Arnie's in that sort of bracket. So massive respect to him. And I hope, for his sake and the team's sake, that he has a really quality 90 minutes and makes some good decisions with regards to substitutes and changing the game if it's needed to be changed.
Yeah, well said. In relation to the rest of the tournament so far, Clint, has there been any performances that have really jumped out of the ground and surprised you?
This has been the most unpredictable World Cup. That's clear. A lot of big upsets. It's made it very interesting every single game. You cannot bank on any team winning and losing, except Brazil. They're still my clear favourites, and they haven't done anything to make me feel otherwise. But it's made it a joy to watch and follow. It's been a World Cup of second halves, because the first halves have been pretty quiet. I think leading into the game I called this morning, half the games have been nil-all to half-time, and then they just blow up in the second half. So there's been some really interesting things come out in this World Cup. I love the World Cup. This 4 weeks, every 4 years, is my favourite time in football. And it's a joy watching the football unfold on the field, as much as it's a joy watching what's going on in the stands. And this one isn't any different. It's delivering. And let's hope, for the Socceroos' sake, it delivers another little nugget, another little chapter. So I can't wait for 2 o'clock. I need some Z's big time, because I've been watching all the games, so I'll be heading to bed after this phone call and make sure I'm ready to go at 2.
Mate, before we tuck you in, you're calling the Argentina versus Poland game tomorrow morning.
Yep.
We'll talk about this at the start of the show. Let's hope the Socceroos win and we go through and we qualify in second place in Group D. Who would we rather play out of those two in the round of 16, Poland or Argentina?
Me, I would not care one bit, and I would hope the attitude of the players would be the same. The bigger the opponent, like, the less you've got to lose in a lot of ways. So I would love a matchup with Argentina all day. Mm. Can you imagine a round of 16 match between the Socceroos and Argentina? That would go off back here.
Yeah.
It would be massive.
Huge.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, Clint, we'll let you go to bed, mate. Catch all the action on SEN. Download the SEN app. Doing a great job, mate. We appreciate your time on Sports Day tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jeez, go the Socceroos. I got chills when he was talking about, you know, just the Socceroos getting out there and then the Arnie stuff. How cool is that?
Well, there's obvious respect there for Arnie. You know my thoughts around Arnie. I love the guy, and I had a fair bit to do with him at the Penrith Panthers. He's our goal-kicking coach, and he's a great guy, but it doesn't matter what he'd be involved in. Wouldn't matter whether it be a game of cards. He'd rip your eye sockets out just to win anything. So, and you can see him on the sideline. He's so passionate. And sometimes your emotions can get away from you in those big moments, but he's just such a great guy.
He's not the only coach that struts up and down the sideline in that boxed area. You know the other thing that I find really weird? When a team scores a goal, all of their substitutes run on.
Yeah, what's going on there?
What is going on there?
We should allow that in league.
Really?
Yeah.
Let the fans run on. That used to happen.
Our other national team is in action at the moment, the Australian Cricketers. They're 2 for 170-something. The reason I say that is because the score has just gone off the screen. 2 for 175 they are.
Manus Labuschagne looks good.
Does he?
Yeah, he looks really good.
Go to iCanWin.com.au to win yourself a Ziggy by Ziegler and Brown barbecue this summer. I wonder if that's drawn tomorrow because summer starts tomorrow.
Michael from Drummond says, great combinations, the two Woodies in tennis, of course.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Mm. More of that. This is Sports Date. Thanks to Kia. Back in a moment.
Kia didn't just make an eight-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an eight-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome back to it, Sports Day. Badge and Sats. Texts are flying in, of course. 0457 736 736. We're looking for good combinations.
Great combinations.
So it could be sport. Well, let's do sporting.
Peter Sterling, Brett Kenny. Oh. What about this one? Great partnership. Justin and Cameron Green. That's from Jeff at Dubbo.
Hey, Justin. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good on you, Jeff.
I've got a great combination. Gary Belcher and Carlene Belcher.
What?
Swanee. It's your wedding anniversary today.
I know.
Well, what are you doing here?
I know.
You should be having a candlelit dinner.
Supposed to be not. Yeah, anyway, I'm leaving after this segment.
I'm guessing.
We're both in our 40s.
I'm guessing 36 years.
Ba-bum. That's ridiculous. We're both 40-something.
She would have been out for good behaviour too, if it's that long.
Yep. What is it, Badge? How long?
37.
Wow, Badge.
Isn't that crazy? Crazy that she's putting up with me that
so
long.
So take us through the night. You'll finish here. Okay, you'll go home and get some Chinese.
I met her when we were 18.
No, you'll go home and she'll have ice cream ready for him.
Ice cream.
That's all I need.
Is that what you mean? You know, what do you mean that's all you need?
I got her ice cream. I got her, yeah, past all that. Got her present last night, a Killers T-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
That's sexy.
Do you buy each other anniversary presents?
Yeah. You know what 37 years is? I only found this because my wife told me. Dropped a big hint. Alabaster.
What's that? Oh.
Exactly.
What?
So what? She bought me a shirt like had like alabaster colour. It's like a cream colour. What is it? It's like a stone or something.
We're asking you.
I don't know. Gary. I'm looking it up.
You haven't really looked into this wedding anniversary.
No, I didn't.
I'll just get her a Bunnings voucher.
Oh, that's good, but I'm not getting that. What is alabaster?
What is the best
thing? It's a rock.
What? Oh, is it?
It's a light, white, vanilla-y coloured rock.
Is the rock walking into your house tonight?
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
You'll get home, the rock will be sitting on your lounge.
And you're all of a sudden sleeping on the front doormat.
I hope it's young.
Carlene's just wearing a Killers T-shirt.
You never leave.
The rock's nude.
Not by rock, yeah. Knuckleheads.
Hey, so what's the most romantic thing you've done for your wives?
I've told you what I've done.
What?
So one Christmas, about 8 days out, I delivered an elf note to her.
Oh, that's right.
And on that was a hint to go to this somewhat to a part B. So she arrived at this next shop who
was the first hint the kitchen?
And the Oh
no, that's what you would have done.
And then at the next shop, there was another elf note. So it finally, after eight days, it led her to this
Will Ferrell
clothes shop that she loves.
Is that it?
Yeah.
A clothes shop.
And they closed the shop for her. And then she got to...
A closed shop. It wasn't a closed shop.
It's not open. Shop. Oh, sorry, Dale. I got the
So you were dressed up like Will Ferrell, delivering notes to her. Elf.
What about you, Batch?
Do you know anything you've done for Carlene? I don't.
You must have done something.
I know, but I'm not. I can't tell you.
I organised a helicopter once, Contra, and we went over to South Stradey just and sat on a deserted beach.
Where's South Stradey for our listeners?
Off the Gold Coast.
Yes, it's an island,
and it's really nice, and it's quite. There's not a lot there, right? Just sat on the beach with a picnic basket.
Did you skinny dip?
We're naked.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's disgusting.
I was about 2 kilos
and
lighter then.
What? And you must have had to pay that helicopter pilot a lot more money.
We had to do two trips.
When you did.
Oh, no, I put my clothes back on. But you know what happened was the frigging tide came up when we were in the water and it went through all my sandwiches.
You didn't check
the tide.
So
no food.
Did they roll you back into the water?
Hello to those people on that Jetstar flight going up above us.
Oh, no.
Hey, now, what do you make of this? Ryan Madison. Parramatta star. He wants to swap his $4,000 fine that he got through the grand final last year for a crusher tackle. He wants to because he took that $4,000 fine instead of a 3-week ban.
He wrote 34-week ban.
The NRL is apparently holding firm, but now the season's starting to approach through preseason. He's now training. He feels like, wow.
It just looked like a crazy selfish thing, didn't it? When you go, I'll just take the 3-week ban rather than $4,000 out of your huge pay packet.
Now, can I play devil's advocate here and look at the reason why he took the $4,000? And the excuse that he's used is that if I'm at work, if I'm working normally in an office or wherever it may be, and if I do something wrong that's not intentional, my employer doesn't take any money off me. So what he's saying is the crusher tackle and the NRL are fining players when it's not an intentional act, and I don't think it's right. So he's sort of saying, I'm going to take a 3-week ban as opposed to a $4,000 fine.
Is that what he said, or you think that might
be? No, that's what he said. I don't get penalised from a monetary perspective at my job if I was not playing rugby league. So that's why I'm going to take a 3-week ban. Now it's getting closer to the season. He's obviously thinking, hang on a sec, I've had to rethink about this. I'm leaving my teammates in the lurch.
For 3 weeks. Mm. Three very tough games to start the season, and it's important. And it's not a big fine. It's, you know, you don't intentionally get a speeding ticket, do you?
Yeah.
But you get them.
Because
I kind of don't. I can't agree with that at all.
Now, he wants to appeal the decision. The NRL, for more reports, will potentially look at.
Well, I heard said that he found out on Mad Monday, the day of the grand final, and he'd already had a few drinks, I suspect, and so it wasn't a great time to ask him with a couple of hours' notice. No, yeah, with a couple of hours' notice, you've got to make a decision about this.
He was sitting at the casino blackjack table.
No, he wasn't.
That's alleged. Alleged. Okay. You just made that up.
Not true. They said, I've just dropped 1,500 on red. I'm going to take 3 weeks.
No, so his missus has gotten to him and said, you're an idiot. We're not giving up $4,000. No, you're not doing 3 weeks. You've got to do $4,000.
He said, we can come back here for 3 weeks.
That's right. Would he lose money to play when a player is suspended? Do they cop a fine from the club? No. Do they not get paid? So they still get full pay?
If it's an extended time off the field and it's an intentional act, the club may dock the player.
Okay.
If you're a player that continually gets suspended, the club may drag you and say, hey, if it happens again, we're going to have to penalise you.
Right, yeah.
Portion of your contract.
What do you think about the whole Ryan Madison thing? We've got Ryan from Byron Bay suggesting he's not a Madison fan at all. I won't say what he's saying, but yeah. Mm. And more of your text messages too on great combos. I did see one there, Dick Johnson and who is it? Dick Johnson.
Ford?
And
John Bowers.
And John Bowers. No, not DJ. John Bowers, John Bow.
Bowers there, sorry, misspelling.
That's a good one.
One at Bathurst and the one at Sandown.
We're going to get to a break.
G'day, guys. It's a hard topic. Great sporting combos, but ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If Lily don't get you, Tomo must.
Yes.
They terrorised the batsmen in the series. Yeah, shotgun shine, 2HD.
Aussies 2 for 189. Marnus Labuschagne, 94 not out. Smith, 18 not out. Labuschagne, given a chance too at second slip. Put down.
Ooh. Hey, just quickly, Manly's thinking about making Jake Trbojevic a co-captain with Daly Terry Evans.
Can we talk about this a little bit more later on?
Yeah, and I wonder what our listeners think about it. Is it a good move so that they can...
Why wouldn't it be? Are you suggesting it's not? Or
no, yeah, I'm saying it's a good move. I want to know what our listeners think about it. We know we've got some Manly fans.
And there's a reason behind it for more reports as well. So.
Yeah, part to do with that we'll bit of a disconnect between some players and the Pride jersey and are they fans of their current captain or not. It looks like that's what they're going to do. 0457 736 736.
Are you surprised he's not a leader already?
Well, he is.
He doesn't need to see,
but he'll be officially a co-captain.
Mm. Righto. 0457 736 736. Or you can call us 1300 011 70. Break time. Back for Kia next.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car; they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome back to it. Aussie's 2 for 197, Labuschagne 98, not out. He's facing Holder at the moment. And is that it? Oh, single now goes down to 99. Stream every NFL game this season live on NFL Game Pass. Visit NFLGamePass.com. Just quickly, the Great Ocean Road Beach Volleyball Fest, Beach Volley Fest, I should say, in Torquay, started today, Sats, and that wonderful Aussie pair are in action, 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, Del Solo and Talico Clancy as well. 8 o'clock, as you said. They're going up against the Japanese pair, Akiko and Eureka.
I saw it on, I saw this on KO. It's happening on KO as well, so you can catch that action there. Now, an Aussie is exploring his legal options after the revelations in boxing by a referee that he cheated to help Manny Pacquiao win a fight against him.
Yeah.
What's this, Sats?
Back in 2000, as Manus Labuschagne, no, that was Steve Smith.
No, he's facing up now, next ball.
Yeah, this is Skinny Hussein, was a very good Australian boxer. And this is back in 2000. He captained the Australian Olympic boxing team, Skinny Hussein. This is like the old super bantamweight. It's really, really light. And Manny Pacquiao was about 2 years after winning his first world championship. So he's only a young fighter himself. The referee, Carlos Padilla, he said that, I gave Pacquiao a slow 10 count in the round four. Skinny Hussein just hit him with his really short left jab and just knocked Pacquiao down. And he was crook. He was in some trouble, Pacquiao. And he said it should have been a stoppage victory. I disagree. I've watched this fight and I went and rewatched it again today. Pacquiao got up on count of six.
Mm.
So if you had another couple of seconds of that, he would have beaten the 10 count anyway. But it was a great fight, and Skinny Hussein, he really tried to rough him up, and he was starting to become like he's going to be the new superstar, Manny Pacquiao, and ended up winning 8 different divisional world championships, one of the greatest of all time, Manny Pacquiao. But, yeah, this was controversial, this fight, but I still feel as though that Manny would have won it. But, yeah, he wants this to be a no contest as well. As we see, no.
He's facing up now, Labuschagne, to try to get his hundreds on 99. Yeah, on the back of Jeff Fenwick having that fight overturned against Azuma Nelson and getting his fourth world title.
Yeah.
There might be a lot more of this, I reckon.
Clear the air, boys. There could be as well, yeah. Now, clear the air. Holder is at the top of his mark. Labuschagne's facing up. 99 he's on. Holder coming into bowl.
Here we go.
Labuschagne, defensive, out to mid-wicket. No run. And we're going to run out of time. Come on, get to the next ball. Hey, when we come back, no doubt we'll be celebrating the 100 of Manus Labuschagne, unless we just put the Sports Day mocker on him. Let's hope that doesn't happen. We'll be back soon for Kia. This is Sports Day.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Labuschagne on 99. Seals on the way to him. Bowls here. Labuschagne goes back and cuts his way to a century. Out towards the rope. Will just about make it all the way for four. And it does. It's summer and the weather's fine. For Labuschagne, that means tons. It's Manus the machine. His 8th test ton, 7th in Australia. 2nd here at Perth and 1st against the West Indies. What a way to start summer, 22-23 for the Queenslander, Australia's number 3.
Adam Collins from the SEN commentary team. A short time ago, Manus Labuschagne, 100 not out, boys. What a great knock again.
Outstanding.
Beautiful, yeah. Well, we lost that early wicket of Warner, and then Khawaja made a few runs along with Manus, but he's been, steady as. Steve Smith's on 30-odd. So they're going well.
Hasn't he accumulated those runs very easily?
Yes.
He's incredible.
Cruising along.
Hello to the our listeners for the second hour of the show. It's through the Super Radio Network, of course, the SEN app, and our SEN track stations as well. Keep your texts coming through for McDonald Jones Homes. We're asking for your best combos in sport tonight or anything. Some of them that are coming through. I saw a couple for the two Woodies, tennis.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. There's,
get excited watching them.
Robot says, what about Winks, Waller and Bowman?
Yes.
Just saying, yeah, one good. Of the good ones, isn't it?
Well, on that note, then you, I suppose you throw in Peter Moody and Black Caviar. And
Pumper and Kingston
Luke
Town.
Luke Nolan. Sorry, yeah. Pumper and Kingston Town, yes.
Yeah. Hey, what about Johnny Lewis and Jeff Fenwick?
Of course.
Great combo.
Don King Brilliant. And Mike Tyson. No, well, didn't he make a lot of money out of Don King?
Don King and Jeff Fenwick, not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Beaver and Cliffy Lyons.
That was Mick. One of the best combos. Mm. Alf and Kevy. Played a lot of footy together. Won a lot of comps.
Well, what about yours? Ricky and Laurie.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
Stuart and Daly.
Yeah. Not Ricky and Laurie?
You can call them that, yeah. Sticky and Loz.
Okay.
Righto.
Anything else?
No, that's all.
0457 736 736. Keep your
text
coming
through. Didn't you say Kyrgios and Kokkinakis?
For McDonald Jones Holmes, no.
Is that one of the potential great partnerships?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Why don't you think so, Woogie? Why don't you like him?
Oh, it never crossed my mind.
Okay, well, think about it now. You're tennis.
Okay.
You played tennis once.
Yep.
So, what do you think?
No, Aria did tennis lessons.
She did,
that's right, and she didn't know what end of the racket after 6 months.
She went for the lollies, to be honest. No, they're not a great combination.
Yes.
They're a tool combo, but that's about it.
A what?
A combo of tools.
Really?
No, that's not fair on Kokkinakis. He's actually a good bloke.
Hey, Badge, what about Chocker from Hawk's Nest on the mighty 2HD? Agro and Anne-Marie.
Oh, how nice.
Agro and Anne-Marie.
Remember cute little blonde?
Yeah.
Didn't have to add that little bit in.
What is wrong with that? Okay, the attractive blonde lady that was with Agro.
Wouldn't you just say the other female co-host?
Oh, well, that's a bit rude, not recognising who she is.
What about Daryl and Dickie Knee?
Oh, yes. Daryl and Ozzy.
Compulsory watching, wasn't it?
How bad Darryl was Red Simons? I wasn't a Red Simons fan.
I couldn't stand Daryl Simons.
He was playing a villain. You didn't get it, Sats. Yeah. I don't think you had to try too hard.
Daryl Summers. Oh, horrid.
One of the great hosts.
What about Simon Garfunkel?
Yes.
Great combination.
What about Seals and Croft? Because that leads me, there's a bowler bowling for the Windies today. His name's Seals. Imagine if he played back in the Colin Croft days. Seals and Croft, bang.
You're a knucklehead.
Hall and Oates are the greatest duo of all time.
Please. Fatty and Sturlo. On the footy show. That was good.
That's all right.
What? What do you mean all right?
It was good.
Oh, you are.
Anyone
in entertainment is good. Woogie straight away goes.
No. Do you think it went 5 years too long, though?
You know what? I barely watched it.
What?
But I know people loved it. Well, they stole it from us. It was a Brisbane footy show first, and then they took our idea.
That's true.
Is it? Right, yeah. Tim Franklin coming up on the show soon. This guy is walking around the world.
No,
running around the world.
No, he's not running. No. He's not running around the world. He's running across the world.
You can't run across the world.
Yeah, you can.
How do you know that?
Well, how?
Well, ask him when we get him on in a couple of minutes. That's ridiculous. If you've got one for us, it could be about anything you've
seen. That's ridiculous that someone could run across the world.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
And I bet you when we get him on the line shortly, you'll be like, oh, mate, this is amazing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You big softy. That's ridiculous. We'd love to get yours. 0457 736 736. The man, the machine, the tipping machine, Simon Orchard from New South Wales Greyhounds. Well, join us. Geez, there's some big races coming up in New South Wales Greyhounds, and he will be joining us with some tips for Wente Park tonight. But, boys, I see Cody Walker is taking on a bit of a coaching role in the Indigenous All-Stars team.
Yeah, he's been named a player coach. So a little bit like the old days when there were captain coaches. He's been named as still playing in the game also, and also a part of the coaching team. But also more so about probably mentoring a lot of those players that come into the squad for the first time. And I think it's a really good appointment. It's a little bit of a throwback, isn't it, Badge? Which is it's a great initiative.
One of the great things about that game is the Indigenous All-Stars and their work throughout communities and you know, embracing their heritage. And what I gather without knowing Cody Walker is that he's at the forefront of a lot of that. So I think that's a really important part of that role.
I love listening
the young kids through.
I love listening to a lot of the Indigenous players who have a proud Indigenous background, but not an overall understanding of their heritage. And they go into those, and we've spoken to a lot of players, both on and off the air, that players that go into those camps and the education throughout that week and what they learn about their about the Indigenous heritage as well. It's, it's fulfilling a lot of motivations around education, I think. And it's always a and it's, well, it's played in New Zealand this game as well. The one next year.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. Hey, just on that, and I know he's only in, a, in an assistant role, the best player coaches, Wally did it for a bit, didn't he?
Wally was his last year in 93, he was captain coach. 92 as a captain coach of the Gold Coast Seagulls.
Any others come to mind in footy?
Oh, there was he was the last captain coach, Wally was.
But at the top level?
In rugby league or whatever?
Yeah. In well, first grade.
There's been plenty of captain coaches over the years. Like Norm Proven was captain coach when they were winning a lot of premierships at Saints.
In the 60s, it was done a lot, wasn't it? Didn't Tommy Bishop come out as a captain coach at the Cronulla? Or
he did, I think, actually. I think he did badge. Yeah.
Who were the captain coaches? Yeah.
Our listeners will know.
Nice.
I was captain coach of the Byron Bay Red Devils.
How many games did you play?
About 14.
Yeah, but you
got
you struggled
by a lot of young kids.
You struggled to keep your players straight, didn't you?
No, Tuesday night there was about 8 players at training, and Thursday night there was about 14, and on Sunday we didn't have enough jerseys.
Wow. And pizza consumption was through the roof, right? Is that is that true?
Todd Carney's the captain coach there now.
Is he?
At Byron Bay, yeah.
There you go.
Right. Good combinations. Grafton Broncos says, what about Strop and Delveen? Oh, Delaney. Yeah. Oh, ripper.
Marnus Labuschagne, by the way, a very good stat, not a crap stat. 21st time he's passed 50 runs in his first 29 tests.
How many centuries is that now?
Crap stat.
He's on 105. How many centuries is that in the last 12 months for him, Woogie?
We'll look that up whilst we're talking to the man who's running around the world. Now, what do you do, boys, before you start running around the world? What do you do? What would you do last day before you go start running around the world?
Put a lot of Vaseline.
Where?
And my...
Make sure I've got comfortable socks.
No, you go for a run. That's what Tim Franklin's doing right now. Hello, Tim. Welcome to Sports Day.
Hello, gents. How are you?
Good. So, wait. Badge and Sats have got a question for you. They're saying, they made a statement, it's impossible to run around.
No.
Badge made a statement.
G'day,
that,
Tim.
That it's
How
impossible.
How do you run across the world? Explain, please.
Well, there are rules around what I have to do, but the main rule is I have to run a minimum of 26,232 kilometres. I have to land on 4 continents, and on that continent, I have to run a minimum of 3,000 kilometres. I have to pass every line of longitude in one direction, and I've got to start and finish in the same spot. And apart from that, the rest is easy.
So starting Friday, 7 a.m. at South Bank in Brisbane, and I'm going to ask the most obvious question. Why?
The key reason is that through COVID, and even before COVID, I just felt the world was just getting far too sedentary. People just stopped moving, and I started moving about 16 or 17 years ago when I went for my first run and fell in love with it. So I just want to share that journey with as many people as I possibly can. And I think that the running is one of the great things you can do. It's easy. It's accessible to everyone. And the benefits of movement and exercise, as you guys all know, you know, whether it be physical, mental and emotional. So I just want everyone to live that journey.
Yeah, nice. Now,
Woogie's just big frown on his face.
I'm nodding. I'm in agreement.
Now, Tim.
You're nodding off.
Looking at all the what you're covering, the continents, you're at Brisbane, New Zealand, south to north, USA from the west coast to the east coast, and it keeps going through Europe, South America. Based on your research, what's going to be the most challenging section on the body across a lot of those continents?
I think the most challenging section, for a number of reasons, will be South America. probably the language barrier to start with, makes things just that little bit more difficult. And then I'm hitting South America basically in the dead of winter. Ooh. So I'm looking at temperatures between sort of like low single digits up to around 15 being the max. So that's going to get probably pretty ugly on both the mind and the body. But apart from that, I'm hoping it's going to be as easy as I can possibly make it. That's the plan.
Wow. So tell us about your support crew. How does that all work? The logistics behind this?
Yeah, the logistics is probably far more challenging than the run itself. But I'm really lucky to have like a really tight knit group back here in Brizzy helping me. And then on the road, I've got two mates. They're both nurses. They've given up their jobs for the better part of a year and a half, and they're going to be in an RV or in a car with me every step of the way. Mate, so they'll be doing everything. They'll be my on-road support crew. Cool.
Is it true you started taking up running when you hit 120 kilos? And was that during COVID?
No, that was long before COVID. But, yeah, I had a few issues going through school. I went from a normal, healthy, active kid, and then I had some growing pain, so I just stopped moving. And I blew out to about 120 kilos, was smoking, obviously drinking a bit too much grog. And then I just decided one day that I need to make a change. I'm killing myself. I like my mates in life a bit too much to go too early. So I thought I'd get it, just start moving, get fit again. And that was about 2005 where it all kicked off.
So have you broken other records? Oh, sounds like you've been doing this for a fair while.
Yeah, I always no, I don't have two records because I'm not quick enough. But one of the records I did have is through COVID, I got the idea from someone over in France to run a marathon in their apartment. So I took on that challenge and ran 2,000 laps of my 21 meter apartment, and I had that record for 24 hours before a bloke from Sydney beat me.
That's crazy. Oh, so what's the current world record for this? Running across the world, 26,000 kilometres. What do you got to beat?
So the current world record's held by a Frenchman by the name of Serge Girard, and he completed it in 2017, and it took him 434 days. So that's what I'm aiming to do. Anything under 433 days will be the new record. Given my plan, it's currently about 420 to 425 days where I should be back in Brizzy if everything goes right.
You're insane. Now, do you see yourself, and I'm starting to imagine it now. I can see this picture, Tim, when you're going from the west coast of the US across to the east coast, San Fran to New York, growing a long beard, much like Forrest Gump, with hundreds of people following you through the streets. A little bit like Rocky.
Oh, yes.
I would love a lot of people to come running with me. I don't know about the beard though. I might leave that to other people to grow. I don't really like running. I don't really like growing a beard. A, I'm not very good at it. And B, it just gets in the way, I reckon. So I might try and keep it nicely trimmed.
Are you taking spare shoes?
Oh, are you serious? That's a question.
Now, how many? What
is the preferred shoe?
I wear a Hoka Clifton 8.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm taking about 40 to 50 pairs of them.
They're the ones that got
good people at Hoka.
Yeah, they've got the ones with the curved sort of sole, haven't they?
They do, yeah. Yeah, and they've just really been really good for my feet. My feet just like being in them. So, yeah, 40 to 50 pairs I'll probably burn through.
Wow.
Well, can we get your itinerary? Because you're going to be at Super Bowl this year or next year. And we might be able to bump into you somewhere. Surely we can bring you Vegemite Sanger or something along the way, Tim.
Yeah, a pack of Tim Tams or something would be good.
Gold.
Any words of advice for that rookie Ned Brockman who only ran from Perth to Sydney? he's a chump. Come on, let's be honest.
Absolutely not. Anyone that sets out to do something that crazy deserves all the kudos he gets. I mean, 100 k's a day. That's brutal. I'm only setting out to do 65.
Yeah.
So no, he's done a great job, and it just shows it just shows, you know, that, you know, that there's plenty of people out there doing crazy stuff just to you know, to help the community. So it's pretty exciting, actually.
Hey, Tim, are you doing it for a charity or anything like that? Is there a purpose for doing this?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been lucky enough to be linked with three charities. So Inspiring Brighter Futures is a local charity here in Brizzy that was started by my grade seven teacher. And I rekindled it. I just ran into him not long ago. So I've been working with that charity for about 3 years. And we help disassociated youths, domestic violence victims, and sort of Indigenous population with the goal setting program. It's all around their values, getting them back into the workforce, getting them back into mainstream education, rehousing them if they need be. So that's one of the charities. And another one of the charities is the Lung Foundation of Australia. One of the girls coming with me, she lost her mum to lung cancer. So we just want to raise awareness and obviously money for research into lung cancer, but more importantly, get rid of the stigma that's around lung cancer, that like people deserve to get lung cancer if they've been smoking. And that really hit home to me. So I want to you know, really help her because she's given up a lot for me. So I want to really help that charity. And then Wings for Life, which is all about spinal cord injuries, which again resonates with us because we're running for those that can't, those that don't have the privilege or to be able to run. So they're the three charities that we've linked with.
Yeah, that's great work. Great work. We want to stay in touch and in contact and follow the journey, but also for our listeners, how do they follow the journey, Tim?
So the best way will be through my Instagram. So that's just at Timmy R. Franklin. And they can jump on that and that'll have a link to where they can make a donation to the charity, as well as my website, which is timrunstheworld.com. Right, so those mate. Two places will be the best two places to see where I'm at.
I'm following you as we speak.
Sats is getting off his Donald Runs the World onto his Tim Runs the World.
Mate, we'll chuck those details as well up on our social media accounts as well. Hey, Tim, this is awesome what you're doing. Best of luck with it, mate. Over a year away from Brisbane, hitting the pavement for some good charities as well, mate. Good luck with it, and we will keep in touch with you if that's okay. With Vosty, Tim.
Can hear him just in the background.
He's just going for a scuba dive.
Tim might want to update the phone.
Started walking from Brisbane to Auckland.
Are you there, Tim?
He's back.
I don't open to your phone.
Oh, I got you.
Mate, best of luck, and we'll keep in touch with you, eh?
No worries. Thanks for all your support, Jen.
No worries. Tim Franklin there, who's embarking on a 400-odd-day run around the world, 26,000.
That is amazing.
232 kilometres.
Doesn't that make you feel lazy?
I wouldn't get through Queenstown. No. Stop at Ferg Burger, have a burger, and then just pitch a tent there.
Oh, mate.
What
no.
else did you have there next door? You were saying while you were there. What else did you have in Queenstown?
Oh, you'd go and give Beaver a kiss, wouldn't he?
He loves his Beaver.
Where are you going with this?
Yeah. No, Stephen Donald. Oh, the love-in we played the other day, the Beaver. Yeah. Incredible.
It's happened again.
Rightio. 60 years of family culture. Join the Robson Civil Projects team for the opportunity of a lifetime. Quick text has come in from Steve from Dubbo. He's been on the phone. He's only just started listening. He just joined the show. I was on hold with NAB for an hour and 15 minutes. Unbelievable. I need a soccer report from Jack to calm me down. Well, Steve, you missed it. We already had it.
They all go home about 5 at the bank and you're not going to get through.
Mate, we had a detailed report from Jack too. It went about 18 minutes. So sorry about that.
About Liverpool. They're not even playing at the moment.
That's right. The 8-seat Kia Carnival, it's a grand utility vehicle. Back in a moment. This is Sports Day.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Come on, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's got to be an investigation into this. This has got to be, someone's got to be accountable for this.
Two for 240, the Aussies. Marnus Labuschagne, 117. Smith, very quickly to 44 off 64 balls. For expert car service, book into your local Repco authorised service centre. Time for That's Ridiculous. Sats, take it away.
So the Gold Coast Titans and the Newcastle Knights, we've got a lot of Newcastle Knights fans listening to us on the SEN app or 2HD, and they've done a swap with the Gold Coast Titans. And I've got to say, Knights fans, I think you've got the best end of the deal here. Chris Randall, who's a very handy hooker, I think on his debut he did something like 72 tackles against, might have been the West Tigers from memory at Campbelltown, but and they've made a swap with the Gold Coast Titans for Greg Marjoux, who was the outside back, the winger.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
What are you saying?
I'm saying the Gold Coast Titans have let go a really good player.
But it depends on what you need. If they've identified they need a backup hooker for Sam Verrills. So it sounds like they have decided that Tanner Boyd is going to play in the halves.
They've still got Aaron Clark there, who I think they're going to look at as a 13, as a lock forward now, okay. Play a little bit more like a Victor Radley sort of role. But he's always there as a backup as well, and he's more than a handy backup. But Greg Marjoux, we see Penrith Panthers' success is on the back of, you know, a lot of the kick returns from players like Brian Toto and Mike Acevo and their ability to finish tries because they're big and they're fast. And Greg Marjoux is one of those outside backs that gets the Titans on the front foot. So I know he's got some defensive concerns. I get that, but you can always work on those. But there's something you can't lose, and it's big outside backs that are fast.
So they've got Judge over Fafita, who plays on the wing.
Good young player.
As well.
End up a centre, yeah.
Yeah, and they bought Aaron Schopp.
Yep.
Good centre,
yep.
Maybe they've just decided they're a bit, or they just had that. That's the only player that the Knights would swap with. You know, Philip Sami's out there; he can play in the wing.
There's just some players. There's some players that are just wingers.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it. Like Brian Toto, like he's just a winger and a very good one.
Oh, you mean he's only a winger?
Yeah, he's only a winger. So, and that's what Greg Marjoux is. I think Newcastle.
Oh, he's very
Knights,
good player. Yeah,
I think they've lucked out here.
Righto,
Badge.
I want to tell you about a footballer, soccer player, who has played 40 matches since he died 9 months ago.
What?
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Wrong segment, that.
Do you get it?
That's ridiculous. Yeah, well.
You know who I'm talking about?
No.
He's playing tonight. Christian Eriksen, one of the stars for Denmark. He was playing. He's the guy who collapsed on the pitch or on the side of the pitch when Denmark was playing Finland in a Euros match 9 months ago. And they lost him. They brought him back with a defib. And then he wasn't allowed to keep playing. He was playing in the Italy comp, in Serie A, because their rules say with certain conditions you can't play. He's had operation to fix it all. So he went and played in England for Brentford and got picked up by Man U. He's with them now and now playing for Denmark.
He's not playing tomorrow morning, is he?
Yes.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, God.
Oh, God on their side. They brought him back.
Oh, God. I get it. Oh, good.
No.
A little bit slow.
What's the matter?
I'm glad he's alive, but does he have to play tomorrow?
Why?
Well, we don't need someone that good playing. Like,
against
us. We're playing them tomorrow.
$1.47 they are.
Oh.
Denmark.
Doesn't matter.
I think we're going to win.
Anyway.
Hey, I've got one.
There we go. Chris Randall's debut was against the Panthers. Set a tackling record of 74. Thank you, Bruce.
Jeez.
Okay. He can tackle.
Yeah, no, he's a handy little player. Really handy little player. What do you got?
The crowd.
Oh, here we go.
At Optus Stadium.
You're
for
running
the first
down cricket
test.
Again. Well done.
It is.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
I'm not running down cricket. I'm just showing. I'm looking at grandstands that are empty.
Well, Nick from Newcastle said, I turned off cricket when the Aussies started taking a knee. I just want to watch sport. I don't want the politics rammed down my throat. Maybe a lot of people think the same.
I heard a bloke's stomach rumbling today on the TV from the crowd. That's how empty it is.
It's in Perth at Optus. Beautiful stadium.
You haven't been there.
The bird's nest.
You got another one?
I have Jack, our Jack.
Mm.
The amount of lasagna
that's
he eats.
Ridiculous.
Oh, the amount of lasagna he eats.
Oh. Come on, that's ridiculous.
He's got to be constipated.
I asked him that tonight off the air.
He just has lasagna every meal.
Just put a bit of chili in it.
Jack, come in here, please.
Every meal. Jack, it's one of those heated up ready meals as well.
Yeah, you can't talk to him like that. Well,
what do you mean? I'm concerned about
Jack.
It's not. It's not every meal.
Yes, it is.
I mix it up. Yeah.
It's 80% of your meals.
No, it's twice a week because you can get 2 for $13.
No, Jack, that's a lie.
That's all you can.
Do you eat much roughage?
The roughage?
Do you eat it?
Yeah, no, I don't eat the cardboard. I don't eat the cardboard.
Help you, you know, help you.
Poo.
Do you go to the toilet regularly like a normal human?
Like a normal human. I'm not a robot, mate. Like,
I saw him in the car park earlier.
Did they get that? Yeah.
No, I've got the beef. I didn't have it twice today. I had the pasta for lunch and I had the lasagna for dinner.
Oh, double carbs.
Oh, double pasta. Yeah,
you are so blocked,
Jack.
No, I'm good.
I haven't seen you eat a lot of fruit since you've been here.
I am. Well,
do you have breakfast?
No.
So you just eat pasta all day. Do you have fruit? I haven't seen you have fruit.
I've never seen you eat any piece of fruit.
Is there an echo
in here? Mm. What's going on here?
It's a three-way echo.
Yeah, no, the point of the matter is you do what you got to do. It gets by. My family were raised on starch and potatoes, so
Irish.
We weren't introduced to roughage until like the late 1900s. So
you
we'll
were born
fine.
Just outside Belfast, living in the fields.
Yeah. Do you need some money?
Yeah.
Do you need some money? Badgerland.
Do you have any?
No, Badgerland.
Well, I know Sats owes you money.
No, but I know where this.
Yeah, that's right. You know what's ridiculous? Sats still owes me $37.
$34. That's the lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Powerball.
Yeah, the two.
You won't be getting that.
Then again, Jace owes me a six-pack of Vanilla Coke.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't seen that since, have I?
You know, this is a test, Sats, because that was a winning ticket and he hasn't bought it in yet.
He won't be getting it.
I better be getting it.
I'm just saying.
Out of all of us,
it.
Apart from Badge, you're the second. You're the richest person behind Badge in this room.
He's well ahead of all.
Oh, he's miles.
He's so I'm not. Here
you are. It's not even the same game.
I'm not. And if I was, I've had a lot, and many, many more years to accumulate.
Yeah, yeah. You also played for Canberra.
Yeah,
yeah. I couldn't believe it. 20 years after I retired, that's still my poker machine.
All right. Okay. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car. They made
Queen
a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. Text coming through for the McDonald Jones birthday sale. A couple of quick ones, boys.
Phil from Mudgee says, guys, the Knights will get close to the top eight next year. I think they will. Greg Marjoux, Jackson Hastings. You know, I think Ponga will have a breakout year. I think, and I like their forward pack. I know Clemmer's gone, but I think they might go close.
Here we go. We're talking about captain coaches. Johnny Raper. Captain coach of the Saints in 69.
Oh, there
is that
you go.
Correct?
That probably
number ending in 127.
That might be right. I think he's, from memory, was his last year 71? Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, so but he did captain coach. He did captain coach, yeah.
And with Steve Smith killing it at Optus Stadium at the moment, he's 44 off 64 balls. Text from Dennis. Smithy has been hitting the ball as well as ever over the last 3 weeks. Mm. Apparently he's found his hands again. I'm not even mucking around. That is a comment he's made.
Text from 144. Captain coach of Australian Rugby League, Ken Hay. Must have been a while ago.
Mm.
I know there's someone of note that captain coached a kangaroo. Graham Langlands, captain coach.
What about Ken Carney?
Ken Carney, Killer Carney, great
wasn't
hooker.
He at the Dragons as captain coach?
Yeah.
And Graham Langlands, captain. You're right.
Captain
in
coach.
76 or something, 75.
Yeah, 73,
he was
I think
captain
it was.
Coach of a kangaroo tour. Woogie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
There you go.
And before we go to the break, because we spoke to Tim Franklin before about running around the world.
Yes.
Text here from Michael from Des Moines. What about a wheelbarrow race, or I think it's wheelbarrow, race around Australia? More fun than running around the world.
Wheelbarrow racer, has that been done?
I'm not sure.
And would you rather be the pusher or the in
would
the barrow?
Would you have to have someone in the barrow?
Yep. Someone small.
No, just like one of those Christmas hampers they give away in shopping centres.
Like your wife carrying comp.
Yes.
Put the wife in the wheelbarrow.
Shan't be doing that.
She what are you trying
me.
To say?
She can carry me. Oh, don't start with that.
What are That's, you saying,
No,
Woogie?
I'm not saying that at all. I've already should've. Thrown her under the bus about being nude.
You have, actually. You said you were nude on the beach on Stradie.
She was. She was. I hope her workmates hear this as well. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Simon Orchard, the winning Simon Orchard. He's got a couple of tips tonight for Wentie Park. That's on the way next on Sports Day.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV.
This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
I'll tell you what, boys, the Greyhound Super Series returns. The Sportsbet Dapto Megastar, 8th of December. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Let's get the cash king.
I like our next guest.
Let's get him on the cat. We call him the cash king after last week's performance. Gamble responsibly.
He makes me feel confident. He always makes you feel confident with his tips.
I've got to admit, I hadn't had much confidence until last week. He's on the line. Simon Orchard. Hello, mates.
Boys, yeah, thanks for that. Nice build-up. Look, at my my motto, both in tipping and in life, fake it till you make it. So we had a couple of good ones last week, and hopefully we can continue tonight, but also this weekend. You mentioned that Dapto Megastar heats tomorrow, the Newcastle Cup heats on Friday, and then, of course, the finals of both those events next week. So plenty happening, boys. As I always say, plenty of great feature racing and a lot of money up for grabs for our trainers and participants here in New South Wales.
I did that my whole career. I faked it till I made it. Now, Simon, we've been interviewing a few greyhound trainers this week about one of the big events in Queensland on Thursday night, December 1. And the same question I'm going to ask you is what Jason Badge and I have asked them. I can't believe the money that is around in greyhounds across the nation at the moment.
Yeah, it's plentiful. I don't know where we get it from. Honestly, I should ask for a pay rise, I reckon, because we're just shelling out left, right and centre. Look, at the end of the day, boys, it's great for our industry, as I said, of participants, trainers, owners, breeders. If you want to get into the greyhound game, now's probably a better time than ever. And we've got a great thing sort of coming up, developing in the next couple of months, syndication. Boys, which I know a lot of people in horse racing know about. It's basically getting together a group of people to purchase a part or a share in a horse.
Here we go. Yep.
And now the greyhounds are going to roll that out, hopefully, very soon. So now any Tom, Dick or Harry can jump in, hopefully, in the next couple of months and be part of owning a greyhound. And, you know, for those out there that don't have the cash that some of you boys do, we can maybe put it into a greyhound instead of a thoroughbred.
Here we go. And this I imagine is what we've been looking for,
Badge. Well, it's going to be a lot less expensive than owning a thoroughbred racehorse.
Absolutely.
The bills never stop pouring in. Yeah. Dogs laughing.
Yep.
Beautiful. Righto. Hey, Simon, tell us about the heats of the Group 1 Dapto Megastar.
Yeah, spot on. Tomorrow night, we've got these four heats. So first two from each heat will go through to the final. We've got some really good greyhounds engaged as well. Guys, Heat 1, Zipping Kyrios. We all know King Kyrios and Mini Finn. They've been there, done that plenty of times before. Yet to win the Megastar, the Finn Kennel. But Zipping Kyrios is one of the better greyhounds going around. He's at the back end of his career, so probably won't see him too often. But he'll step out in Heat 1. He's the favourite at the moment to take that out. Heat 2, we've got another Finn runner in Gatlin, who's a real superstar. Emerging superstar, I should say. He's run really well this year. And another one by the name of Black Chilli, which I like. So just put this in your black book, boys. Each way, Black Chilli tomorrow night, paying around $6.50 and $2 a place. I reckon he's capable of running really well. Also, the back two heats are dominated by the Lord Kennel. We've heard a lot about them in the last couple of months. They seem to win just about every feature race or have a dog running in feature race finals. So they've got Coast Model, who's the favourite in race 7. And then they've got Good Odds Emma, who's favourite in race 8, which is heat 4 of the Dapto Megastar. So, look, plenty of good dogs going around. We've got four really good heats. As I said, the top two will go through to the final, and next week they'll race for $75,000. It's the final Group 1 of the year here in New South Wales. So looking forward to being on track and interviewing hopefully some excited trainers and owners as well.
Yeah, nice work. Now, let's see if you can follow up from last week. Gwenny Park tonight, what have you got?
Yeah, look, I really hope that we can...
Don't say I hope. Just go in with confidence, Simon.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? Yep. Race 9, number 7, Cherokee Outlaw just wins. How about that for confidence?
Yep, like it.
I don't think I've ever actually said just wins, and I try to steer away from it, but look, this just sets up really well, boys. Cherokee Outlaw, as I mentioned, it's a Masters race. So this dog's been racing against free-for-all or non-graded dogs. This is the likes of Zipping Kyrios and his mates for basically the past 10 months. He's now 4 years old, so he steps into this Masters race. He's just superiorly graded. He's better than these dogs. He just needs to step cleanly, and Cherokee Outlaw can win. So that's race 9 on the card tonight, number 7, Cherokee Outlaw. Then if you want another one, race 10, number 1, Kapow. Great name. I think it's just really well boxed down in box 1. It's a really sharp race. It's only a 280-metre race. We don't see a lot of those at Wente Park. But I just think, aided by the inside draw, these Scampers are usually won by dogs towards the inside, and I think Kapow, great name, and a great little dog as well, can win race 10, number one, tonight at Wente.
Rightio, put us down for one of those syndications. This is what we've been looking for on Sports Day. Ooh. We've even got a name for the greyhounds.
Hey, Mum! The meatloaf! We want it now! Ma, the meatloaf!
You have to shorten
Ma,
that.
The meatloaf.
Ma, the meatloaf. Mm.
Yeah. That's what we're going to call it. So we're ready to go. And we want one that's a winner, not a loser. Sportsbet sure. Dapto Megastar. The best of the best. Battling it out for 75 grand in prize money. 8th of December. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Simon, good luck again tonight, mate. Always a pleasure.
Good on you, fellas.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
What are you right over there?
I said, shut up, Jack.
Hey, hey.
Oh. He just yelled at me.
What did he yell for?
I don't know.
Okay. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're going to get into the weather in just a moment. Aussie's 2 for 257. Smith facing Joseph on 48. Nice defensive shot back down to the bowler. He's on 48, not out. And Marnus Labuschagne, hasn't he gone? All right. 129.
Beautiful.
Out. Weather update for New Farm Australian through and through. Where are we looking at tonight, boys? Coffs, 2HC.
Great place, Coffs Harbour. Red Rock.
Big Banana.
Just down the road.
Oh, that's where it is. Yeah.
Have you been ice skating there? Oh, I have for
and
the kids.
And what's the other big place on the hill with the...
banana trees? Woolgoolga?
No, the Indian temple.
Woolgoolga.
Oh, Woolgoolga it is, yes. That's it.
Hello to Russell Crowe listening tonight. And it's also the home of Mick Innes.
Yeah,
Mick Innes. He was born in Coffs Harbour, I think, wasn't he?
Well, it is the home of Mick Innes, so I'd suggest
well,
he would
be. It's not his home.
It's Mick Innes.
Mick Innes.
It's not his home. It's his birthplace.
Not right, Cameron. You're saying on. Cameron Mick Innes.
Like, can someone, one of you, one at a time, come in to me, please?
All right. I'll go at him first.
All right. What was it?
It's Mick Innes.
All right. Good. And what was your complaint?
It's not his home. He lives in the Shire.
Oh, put your hand up.
I know you've been away. Put your hand up, mate, when you're going to push the button.
Anyway, tomorrow, very high chance of rain, top of 22 and a low of 16 overnight. New Farm's products are formulated with the highest quality right here in Australia, New Farm. Australian through and through.
It's time for the last blast on Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
The Arara Valley Axemen. That's where Arara Valley, that's where Russell's got his house.
Yeah. Mm. Nana Glen?
Yeah. Actually,
it's Nana Glen.
I think Sam Burgess was coaching there this
that's
year.
That's it.
Yeah, last season.
Mm. Greyhounds as pets, finding homes for incredible greyhounds.
Apparently one of the... If you love dogs and want a really easy-going pet, greyhounds, way to go. They
How
sleep
much more popular
23
are they
hours a day.
Greyhounds and whippets, obviously, you see so many more of them.
Yep,
whippets are good. Do, 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 do. Whippets are good. Mm.
This is why we pick on you, Woogie.
Hey, can I give you another That's Ridiculous again? I learned the other day.
This is great banter. It really is.
I learned the other day that McDonald's, get twos ready, okay?
Yeah.
Or what, whichever one.
Okay.
McDonald's sell $1 billion worth of coffee alone a year.
What?
Just coffee.
Actually, you told me the other day, too, they're getting a Hokey Pokey ice cream or
Hokey
something.
Hokey Pokey McFlurry.
I know.
How good would that be?
I've been pacing up and down outside my local Macca's waiting for that to come. I could just go and get the ice cream and then go and get some Hokey myself.
Can I read a text or are we going straight to life?
No, oh, you can read a text.
Steve says, how handy are those defibrillators we were just talking about? How lucky was Kerry Packt, who dropped dead at Warwick Farm? And at the time, there's only a few ambulances in all of New South Wales that had them, and one of them happened to be driving through Warwick Farm at that exact time, just in time to revive him. And after that, every Australian ambulance. They called them pack-a-whackers. Yes.
Pack-a-whackers.
They put them in all of them.
Mm.
What?
By the way,
you weren't impressed
with
that, Woogie, were you?
World Cup. Oh, I'm very impressed with it. World Cup preview tonight. Obviously, the one that matters the most, Australia versus Denmark. Need a win or draw if France wins or draws. So let's go for the win. Let's just go for the win. Both those games happening at the same time too, so no one can rig FIFA.
If they you go should be talking with, to the team.
If they go in with a defensive attitude, they'll lose.
That's inspirational, Woogie. Let's just go for the win.
Well, like I do with you blokes every night, I give you guys a bit of a rev up before we go on air.
You say what?
Slap our face.
You say don't.
Don't.
Yeah.
Bugger it up.
Yeah, don't bugger it up. So we've got that. Tunisia obviously taking on France. France have already qualified. They're the first team for the round of 16. Argentina versus Poland. 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, New South Wales time. And that's at the same time as Mexico versus Saudi Arabia. So some big games coming up in the World Cup.
Yep.
Round of 16s kick off Friday night.
Text line and ending in 127 here, 0457-736-736. The fourth best nude on Queensland beach. I bet the out-of-towners pass in the passing overhead Jetstar thought they spied Migaloo.
Oh.
You don't even know my wife.
Oh, wow.
That's bad.
Wow.
No, that's bad. You shouldn't make comments.
You're letting finish. Thought they'd spotted Migaloo next to a beautiful lady.
There we go. That's all right. Then wow. I thought I was going to have a go at him.
I hope her friends who listen to this show work mates.
She has no friends.
Pass it all.
I was standing up for her. Greyhounds make wonderful pets. Head to gapnewsouthwales.com.au. To what? What now? To find your perfect new family member.
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
So there's a couple of robbers robbing a liquor store. And one of the robbers grabs a bottle and turns around to the other robber. He says, "Is this whiskey?" The other says, "Yeah, but not as whiskey as robbing a bank."
Oh, didn't you see that coming?
Oh, I love your wobbly stories.
Oh, righto.
That's radio gold, Steve, right there.
Yeah. This is Sports Day. Thanks for listening. Grab the podcast, Sports Day New South Wales. We'll be back tomorrow night live from Albion Park with the Greyhounds. Catch you then. See you, boys.
Bye.